Welcome to Cleveland Guardians Fan Therapy. Over there is Justin. I'm Jeff. We're going to have our events. We're going to talk about what we can find that's good, what we can find that's bad. Sure, that's most of it. And just what's driving us nuts, both in terms of the Guardians and some hot takes that occur when a team is struggling. Sit down, pull up a chair, relax, maybe get a cold compress, and join today's therapy session on your Cleveland Guardians.
You are Locked On Guardians, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Guardians, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. I am Jeff. Over there is Justin. Welcome to Locked On Guardians. I want to thank you for making Locked On Guardians your first listen today and every day, wherever it is you get podcast. To thank all of our everydayers, we had a few reach out about our sound from Friday, so we are going to monitor that a little bit more. Something weird happened, so we apologize about this Friday sound issue. I think I surprised Justin with my open, because boy, have I been sitting here hot this whole time. My frustration is about an 11 right now, because I feel like a lot of this is Friday's game, where it's like what's the old quote? Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. And it's like, you know, that game, then the afternoon game. And you actually had, I want to start positive. I think you could argue fantastic starting pitching all weekend. Like Cal Quantrill before that line drive was great. And I do wonder if that line drive affected the rest of his pitching. Tanner, I mean, I listened to that one inning where, boy, you know, he great team effort and pickoff by him. Like he was averaging about two base runners an inning and navigating through it. But, you know, Gabby with a throw, Tanner with the pickoff, he made it work. Maybe wasn't as sharp as he was last week, but he still got through and did a good job pitching through that game. And if you're going to be mad about Shane Bieber, then I don't know what to tell you. Like, yeah, he probably didn't trust the bullpen, and that's why we're in that situation. I'll stand. I think Nick Sandlin's been great. He hasn't given up an earned run this month. I would not have mind him being out there. It's frustrating. There's no way around it. You know, I'll throw out two quick stats before I let Justin speak here. I know everyone wants him to speak more than me anyways, but here are my two big stats. We always talk about like, hey, they came back last year. A year ago at this time, they had a 470 winning percentage. Right now they're at 435. They don't have that unbalanced schedule where they're going to get to face Kansas City a bunch. But then again, the Tigers are terrible, and the Tigers beat them in both series. This is a team this year that seems to lower themselves to the level of their competition, and it doesn't matter if that is a bad team or a team that's scuffling. Like right now, they are just not – they seem to get at that level. And the other thing is Gary Sanchez, we know, is not the best at throwing out runners. He's got a good arm, but he's not great at it. RJ Alvarez, I believe, is 1-for-23, someone pointed out to me today. They had 30 base runners this weekend, four home runs. That's 26 base runner opportunities, one attempted steal. Will Brennan was successful. You're not going to get a better team to run against. And that's one of my problems with all of this is like, again, you have a rule change. They're way too precious about this. Like if you go and you look at the numbers, they have the lowest amount of caught steals. They've only been caught stealing seven times. So if you look at, they're much more efficient at it than say, the Pirates are, but it's okay to be less efficient and get more bases out of it. Like the Pirates have been, I think, have five more steals, but been caught stealing 11 more times. I'd be okay with that. They need to run more. And in a weekend like this one, yeah, there were a lot of big hits on Friday and there were no hits in the second game, but run.
Yeah. Look, Tito said over the weekend too, somebody asked him about this because look, again, I want to go back to this. People think, oh, the media is to blame because they're not holding them accountable. Again, no question the media member asks is going to make anybody at that team change their philosophy on anything. It'd be the first time in history a sports franchise changes a darn thing because of a reporter's question, okay? But somebody did ask about, like, you know, stealing bases, and he said, you know, I think we have to be an aggressive team because of how we're built, and even if that means running into some outs, you know, we don't ever want to run into outs, and that can be an issue with us, and but you know, sometimes we have to do that because that's the nature of who we are as a team or something to that effect. I'm kind of paraphrasing here.
He also said that, you know, they had great base runners, but they just aren't getting on base enough. It's like, well,
yeah, like I said, I've said this multiple times already this year. I think it's kind of a mental thing with them. I think you're seeing guys are more timid to run because they aren't getting on base. So you're not trying to run into and out when you're having a hard time getting on base. Like Josh, even, you know, Josh Bell's ill-advised decision to run to second on that hit he had. And I think he stopped and started again. So that was another issue there. But like, I think some of these guys, look, when you have a slump like this and you're young, because look, this is part of the issue. It's a young team. Kwan's second year in the majors. Andrés Giménez, you know, has a couple years in, but last year was the first time he really played a full season. Gabby Arias in the lineup, you know, this is his first big league season in terms of more playing time. Will Brennan, same thing. Like, you've got to, and Tyler Freeman, when he's getting in the game, other guys like that, this is their first time playing in the big leagues full time, or it's their second year in Kwan's case, or Giménez.
Third getting, for Giménez, right?
Yeah, getting, I mean, it's just, yeah. So some of these guys, I mean, Giménez is really confounding, but he's not getting on base. That's another issue there. But when everything in the slump just kind of is a domino effect. Luckily, it's not really carrying over defensively for most of them. You know, Ahmed Rosario is his
Josh own Bell guy. And Rosario.
Well, that's
I enjoy Josh Bell because he catches the ball at first base about as well as I did back in Little League. So, you know, it made me feel good about myself watching that.
That's its own separate issue. But, you know, like some of that stuff isn't carrying over the younger players. But for a lot of these guys, it's the first time some of them are struggling. And, you know, Giménez has struggled in the past and he got it back together again last year. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like some of this is just compounding and they're playing gun shy. Is that the right? I hate to
no,
use that
I think
term,
that's, but I think they are, but like, not only are they,
they're trying too hard not to make mistakes. That's what it is.
They don't want to make, yeah, you're right. They don't want to make a mistake, but it's like, you gotta like, isn't, I mean, how many guys get the green light at first base? Isn't that also kind of like the coach to be like, run? Like, isn't that often like, you know,
it does have to be on the coaches to tell them to run. Absolutely.
So
does
when they get on base, they need to be doing that.
Yeah, this team absolutely should be running more than they are. Like you said, Gary Sanchez last year, I mean, my God, he gave up 36 steals on 50 attempts. The year before that, in 2021, he allowed 50 out of 60. I mean, that guy needs to go to Milwaukee and find out what they're doing there catching-wise, which we're going to talk about that this week, I think.
Yeah. Hire that coach, please.
Yes, geez, oh, man. But, like, yes, run on that guy. Francisco Alvarez also has a great arm, but he's a rookie catcher. Run on him. And I will say,
Alvarez is worse than Sanchez, too, and he caught through those games. He's thrown out one base runner this year. He makes Zanino look good behind the plate in terms of throwing out base runners.
I will say, I think, historically, I'd have to look at this. I think Verlander does a really good job controlling the run game. I think he's good at the slide step thing. Max Scherzer, I'm not 100% sure on. But Verlander, I feel like, has always controlled the run game well, so there is that aspect to it. But the whole point really here to me is they need to run more. They're not playing the same style of baseball they were a year ago. It does have more to do with not getting on base for sure. Without a doubt. Yeah. Verlander in his
can't
career,
be one of 26 though.
Verlander allowed 10 steals last year in 175 innings. Yeah. So consider, okay, Verlander has over 3,000 innings pitched, 147 steals. That is a guy that consistently controls the run game. So, you know, I will give Verlander some credit there. He's always done a good job of that. That's not the whole point here. I think, I don't know. To me, the whole point is the bullpen here. This series, and like you said, they didn't trust it in game two of the doubleheader on Sunday. The offense has found a way. I know they didn't do very well in game two. That is what it is. But Friday and then game one on Sunday, this offense found a way to claw back, okay? They had a great start to the game on Friday night. Josh Naylor's three-run homer. Josh Naylor has found his power stroke. Jose Ramirez had two home runs.
Gabby Arias, back-to-back games, right?
Yes, Gabby Arias home runs in back-to-back games.
Maybe he needs
games
to play more.
Yes, Tyler Freeman had sparked that rally in game one with that double. Like, certain guys are starting to hit the ball a little better, and Jose Ramirez looks like he's becoming Jose. Stephen Kwan had two hits in game one. It's the bullpen right now. That's the issue. Like, okay, the offense is going to continue to be an issue, but you want to know what? And I know it's unfair to put your pitchers in all these one-run games. This is why last year should have been a more cautionary tale, not to buy the hype, but one-run games are not – like, when your record consists of what they did a year ago one-run game-wise, they were 28-17, that is not a – what's the right word for that? A statistic that's going to carry. It's not one of those reliable stats. It is very fungible year to year, as are bullpens. Bullpens, yes, often year to year are not as good as, unfortunately, are not as good. And neither is success in one-run games. It is not a stat where you're like, okay, this is a a staff that's very sticky, and you can count on this as evidence of being. People say, oh, well, they play well in run games. They're a very good team, and they play well in close games. I have another theory about that I want to talk about too, but it's not a it's a thing that comes and goes. It's not a skill. Winning run games isn't a skill. It's a product of, I think it's a product of a good bullpen. Truthfully, that's what it is. And guess what? You thought you had you were going to get the same bullpen again this year, and that's been the issue to me. They should have won this series. They should have taken two or three. They should have taken all three games. Really,
I've got a bullpen stat for when we come back from our first break here.
All right,
kind of describes like where this bullpen, like why this team could be a lot better than they are, but are not.
All right, let's talk about that in a second.
For a championship team, like say the Rays, not the Guardians right now, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. Say like Yandy Diaz, it's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit right. So next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Motors Guaranteed Fit, you'll be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game. When you shop on eBay Motors and with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit, only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And Monday night, if you're a sucker for punishment, 6:10 on your SiriusXM app. Tom Hamilton has the call. Jim Rosenhaus, Guardians, and White Sox. Okay, give us your bullpen stat, okay. Jeff.
So right now, the Guardians actually lead all of baseball in save opportunities. They've had the most at 30. And they've converted 18 of those, which is also the most. They have converted the most. They have the most saves with 18. A year ago, I wanted to see. So I didn't get a chance to do the math here because I wasn't smart. And I was looking over here to see what the percentage is of how many a year ago. I mean, right now, Class A leads the league in saves with 15. He had 42 a year ago. I was looking for save opportunities. Baseball Reference is not helping me out with this. But let's imagine instead of being 15 of 30 or 18 of 30, which if I do quick math, pull a six out of both of those, I get 3/5. So they're at 60%. If instead of being 60% in bullpen opportunities, they were, I feel like last year they were 90%, but let's just bump it up to 80. So if they're 80%, you get 4 out of 5. That's 20. That's 4 more wins. You put 4 more wins on this team. Make sure that I have the right thing pulled up. It's a 500 team, right? Like they're go four. Oh, this is the wrong way to look at it. So, because they'd be 24 and 22. They'd actually be over 500. So right now, one could say, I don't know what you do with Class A. Like, I mean, again, I'll wear it. Like, I take credit and do those victory laps. I said, this is going to be the greatest Guardians bullpen I've seen in my life. I called Class A arguably the best reliever in baseball. I go back to watching that game get away from him Friday night where it's like, he's not putting guys away when he's 0-2. Like they're able to like throw something out of the zone. Like guys can't catch up to your stuff anyways. Like I need to sit down and really study, see if there's less vertical break, more horror. Like what is going wrong with these pitches that guys just don't seem to, they seem to be able to make contact all of a sudden.
I looked at his pitch graph. I don't have the graphic. I can maybe grab it tomorrow, but the only thing I can really say, I'm not really worried about Class A. I think he'll figure it out. He's a very good pitcher.
And a year ago, we had a slightly minor degree of this.
Yeah, and every other indicator is the same. Like, the velocity has been there. Nothing else has changed from command-wise. Nothing is really worse. I feel like maybe he's walking a few more people, but it's not like an alarming relay. It's not like he's 99 all of a sudden. Which
we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll have to. Again, like I said, this team should have won 2 out of 3 this weekend. It's the bullpen. It's on the bullpen. We should be talking about a great series win. Bullpens hide a lot of warts, and 4 runs should be enough to win a game. And what do they score Friday? 9? That should be enough to win a game too. You can't have your bullpen blowing that kind of stuff. This weekend is on the bullpen.
Yeah.
Yes, the offense didn't hit well in game 2 against Verlander, but you want to know what? The guy's a Cy Young winner, and it's going to happen. I know he hasn't been great this year, but, you know, Bieber and him went toe-to-toe on Sunday night. And you know, that's going to happen. When you score four runs, you know, this team, that's been the magic number for this team for a couple of years now, is the four run, the magic number. There's no, they should have won Friday night. There's no excuse for that. That's a bullpen thing. We should be having, not therapy, we should be saying, okay, that felt good. They beat, you know, the Mets 2 out of 3. And
the comeback and to, you know, yes, do it in that way. Like, that should be one of those things we're talking about. Like, this is the rallying point. Like, this team didn't give up. Gabby Arias showing that power we believed in.
Maybe. I'm going to save it for tomorrow. I don't have the right thing pulled up for this. I'll save it for tomorrow. But,
You know, if we're going to talk about that, can I just throw out there? So right now, Bieber, Quantrill, and Batenfield all have given up 7 home runs this year. Bieber is in 64 innings, Quantrill is in 51, Batenfield 34 2/3. So a little bit concerning for Batenfield. Next on this team, 99 with 6 and 19 2/3 innings.
Stefan's got 4. Yeah, him and Stefan gave 4 home runs all of last year. He's already given up,
yeah,
you know, or 3 runs. I don't think it's even less. But Stefan and Karinchak have combined for 10 home runs this year. And I think Stefan gave 3 or 4, maybe.
And I know people are like, he's still missing bats. It's like, it doesn't matter. His, like, yeah, he's missing bats, but he's also walking guys, the home run rate. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. Rate is not an end all be all.
Well, it is for this team because they're not missing enough bats.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I mean, that's the other thing I was talking about
as a team, they are not striking enough batters out. That it is the end all be all.
Third,
miss bats, don't give up home runs.
Third lowest strikeout rate in baseball amongst all teams.
It is the end all be all.
And in terms of, like, again, like, offensively, you know that they're well beyond, like, there's a huge gap between them and even the closest team. And that's after a good weekend for them hitting home runs. But this team is, you know, there's the third worst team at strikeouts. They're not missing bats. And yeah, hopefully Tristan McKenzie coming back fixes that. And hopefully, you know, Savale can help fix that.
Because not a bat misser though, too. So.
I mean, he's always been a little bit higher. Like, he does more than, like, Plesac. You know, Bieber's not.
Come on, we're not comparing to Plesac, really.
But I mean, he does more than he's the third best strikeout pitcher on this team last year.
Savali. Okay, let's not act like that's a great thing.
But I mean, like, what's his career rate? I bet it's over 8 when he's excelling. I bet it's over 8, which is perfectly acceptable for a starter.
That is okay. But starting pitching's fine though. Starting pitching's not the problem.
Yeah.
Right now, it's the bullpen. Like, look, Andrés Giménez needs to get it together somehow. They've got to figure that out. You just paid that guy $100 million, and he was an All Star last year. They've got to get that going. Jose Ramirez looks like Jose. I think Naylor is getting it going. I don't know about the outfield. I'd like to see more of Arias. I think I'd like to see more of Freeman. I think if they can do it, you're getting some guy. I mean, Ahmed looks like he went, you know, back in the wrong direction once again. Whatever.
But he goes back and forth. What, two hits on Friday, one today? Like,
yes, but he's not, you know, he's not, again, we're talking about not comparing things to last year. He, in the past, he hits May and he just kind of takes off. And yes, he has stretches where he's really hot and cold, but now he's not even having the hot stretches. He's just having like a hot series and then it goes back into the tank.
I would move him to a backup role personally. I would have Gabby.
Never going to happen.
I know. I would have Gabby play every day at short. Or even like, you know, okay. And then you got Freeman and kind of that super utility role. And I would try, or what I do is have Freeman and Gabby split time there. And then when you're facing a lefty, have Gabby shift to the outfield and have Freeman play short and have Brennan sit on the bench on those days.
Sounds fine to me. I mean, it can't be any worse than what it's been. But again, like, this weekend wasn't about the offense. Yes, like, there are certain guys that didn't perform well. Like, they haven't figured out what's going on with Giménez. Rosario is frustrating. Bell is just frustrating.
Rosario has a 133 runs created plus at home and a 22 on the road.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
It's just weird. It's just weirdness. That's all.
There's nothing.
He's hitting. I mean, that's the other thing. Honestly, it's like Ahmed should be a platoon bat against lefties because he can't hit righties right now at all. And it's,
well, he's going to keep playing every day.
No, I know, because they don't adjust. There's no such thing as adjustments for this team.
But okay, so the only thing back to Class A, the only thing I was going to say is
he is at a 96 for May, just for the record. So he's almost average.
Great.
We're excited almost, for almost average.
The Guardians are almost average too. I don't know. Whatever. Class A, the only thing is, like, it's command. Like, if you look at his heat map, like, he's throwing the ball kind of in the middle of the zone more this year versus last year. He was kind of on the outer third. And I remember the conversation saying, like, maybe he could throw the ball up in the zone more with his cutter to get more swings and misses. And I think maybe his command just isn't where it was a year ago, or he's trying to hit those spots and he's missing he's missing a spot and it's leaking over the plate. Versus last year, he was trying to, he was going into lefties and away from righties, and that's how he induces so much weak contact. So that's something I can point to. Every other indicator looks fine for Class A. I think it's just spotting his fastball. It's all about command. So I'm not worried about him. I think it'll be fine.
It is interesting that, like, you know, obviously, you know, most people look and just see the K rate is terrible, but his BAPIP is like, there's a 100-point difference in his BAPIP this year to last year, which again could be there. And that's the other
shift, like, the lack of shift.
Yeah. The lack of shift and like things like that. And you look at this team, if you wanted to get really pessimistic, the bullpen has the third best BAPIP in baseball. They have been, the bullpen's been lucky so far this year. You may not believe it, but they've been
lucky. I think we're going to have to recalibrate how we look at BABIP with the,
but again, if you have the third lowest rate in baseball, then that is showing that you're lucky.
It's probably not good.
All teams.
Here's what's confusing to me. And I know we gotta move on, but
yeah.
What's confusing to me, everyone's like, oh, this bullpen stinks. I don't think the bullpen stinks. I think they're having some very inopportune problems. Like, let me go by inning real quick by ERA, because yes, Stefan has given him more home runs this year. Yes, Karen checks the problem with his home runs and walks. That is its own issue right there, especially with 99, okay? I think Stefan overall, if you look at the numbers, is fine. They are like middle of the pack or top 10, I think, in terms of ERA. Now, that's going to change because of the runs they get up this weekend. And I just think they are just having a slip-up at the wrong times. Like, okay, most of these guys are not getting to the seventh inning, right? Okay. In the seventh inning, the team ERA is 3.48. That is their second lowest, their third lowest ERA as a team in any inning this year coming into Sunday's game, so through Saturday. Second inning is their best at 3.07, whatever. And I don't know how much of this is like a very predictive stat, if it means anything at all, but this is what I just can't get over. They have a 3.48 ERA as a team in the eighth inning, okay? So that's fine. That's nothing terrible. It's fine. It's not great. Mostly in the eighth inning, except for Bieber tonight on Sunday night, you know, it was in there. He gave him a run. That sucks. So 3.48 ERA. In the ninth inning, their ERA is 2.48. There's not a lot of context here, okay? But, like, I would think that their problem is they're giving up runs just at inopportune times. But their ERA in the ninth inning, no matter if it's Class A, whoever pitching, it's 2.48. It's their best ERA of any time in the game this year. Like, their ERA in the seventh through ninth inning this year overall as a team is 3.18. It's their best ERA as a team. So it's like the bullpen doesn't stink. The bullpen is mostly okay. They're not pitching great. They're not horrible. But it just seems like whenever they have a lead, they are coughing it up, and that's just a problem. Like,
Stefan's got an ERA of like 2.22. Like, it's fantastic. Elon Morgan's is still under 2. It just happened at that time.
Right. They are just having bad moments at the wrong time, and they're missing spots. And that's why part of me is like,
and like, Henches wasn't going to be brilliant out of the gate. Like,
I'm not putting anything on him from this.
No,
weekend.
It was a bad
outing. Let's for sure. It's a bad outing. He'll say that himself. It was a bad outing.
But you also can't go to the gas can when someone's dumped gasoline on themselves. I'm
sorry. That is the one thing he has to go back to AAA. It has to happen. You cannot be pitching him. I know they keep saying, oh, well, we need a strikeout. That's the guy to bring in. Yes. Cause he is the guy who can strike three guys out in a row for sure. On a team that's having a hard time striking guys out of the bullpen, he is the guy striking guys out, but he's all, like you said, he's a gas can. I'm sorry, he needs to be back in AAA. I don't know if there's a good replacement now.
He doesn't have, like, yes, he can miss bats, but he's a one pitch guy right now. Like,
he's volatile, yes.
He's walking nearly 6/9, and his home run rate is over 2/9. And again, his fastball spin is 41st percentile. It's starting to creep back up. So he's finding something to do because it's no longer quite where it was.
He's growing his hair back out.
Yeah. So it's no longer as low, but he has no extension, which he's never had, but he has the highest barrel percentage. Guys are first percentile on barrel. Everyone is teeing off on him.
Yeah. So yeah, the bullpen, I mean, I know this is cherry picking. I'd like to see the team ERA out of the bullpen. If you took Karen check out of the equation, I bet you'd be pretty good. That doesn't matter though, because Class A is having weird snafu. Stefan is
everybody can't miss bats right now too.
Yes. Everybody is just having some weird, I think you said the bullpen is having good luck BABIP wise, but it just seems like they're having bad luck coughing up the game.
They seem to not be able to function when there's a game on the line. It's like, this team,
well, it's a product of one run games.
Like, they seem to, like, this team is tight, and like, this is going to get me in trouble, so I'm going to make the statement. Like, They looked flat at points this weekend. They're playing very tight. The whole idea of like, hey, we can't run because we can't get on base, or when our base runners get on, they're running this. And then the bullpen is only not stinking when there's guys on. Everyone's tight. And that's part of the coaching staff and management. Yeah. And I wonder if, like, we have seen, so I tweet about this, we have seen so much brain drain over the years from this organization. So many coaches go elsewhere. Are we seeing the result of this? Like, Tito is a great manager. He's great at managing people. He's not necessarily in the nitty gritty. And I worry that, like, over the years, the guys who were in the nitty gritty with the hitters every day, with the pitchers every day, working through stuff, which is, you know, how it is on any team. If we've lost too many of those guys through the years, I worry about the overall brain drain on this organization right now. And if that's what we're seeing, and now everyone's tight, and that's where Tito, that's Tito's job now. This is like to not have them tight, to help them through these situations.
I don't know. My thinking on a lot of this is, you know, I'll tell you my thoughts when we come back in a second on my response to that, because I have some thoughts on just overall how people perceive outcomes and related to opinions. So Rare is a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace transforming you into a baseball owner with officially licensed digital cards featuring players from across all 30 MLB teams. So you could play Tyler Freeman or Gabriel Arias if you get those cards in So Rare if you so choose. These games happen twice weekly and they span a 3 to 4 day cycle at the end of the game week. Managers who rank at or near the top of their leaderboards, not like where the Guardians are right now, win a variety of rewards, which can include scarcity cards, which you really need to move up your ranks and compete in more tournaments. You can get game tickets, merch, VIP experiences. Prizes depend on the competition. So head to sorare.com/lockdown. That is sorare.com to draft your team of free player cards, set your lineup, and start competing to win epic rewards today. Again, that's sorare.com/lockdown to start playing today. Hit up our buddy Alex Hooper on Twitter, at Lex Hooper is his handle. He is one of the guys who is driving a lot of stuff on So Rare baseball-wise and soccer for that matter. But he'll help if you want any questions about setting your lineup or how to go after certain cards and rewards, leagues to play in, boost yourself, check him out on Twitter. He will help you out with playing every day. Okay. You mentioned about the brain drain and coaching and all this stuff too. Okay. The one thing is I'll say, we've been saying this for years. People were worried about the pitching thing with Mickey Callaway left, and there's been a lot of coaches who, and front office guys who have left over the years too, that, you know, everyone was worried about, and the thing keeps turning on. It's fine. You know, yes, there's going to be some impacts here and there. You definitely don't want to lose guys like Ruben. Like everyone said, Ruben Nieva left. Darn, they're not, you know, Ruben Nieva was the pitcher whisperer. They can't develop pitching anymore. Well, look at this year. You've got Logan Allen and Tanner Bibee coming up. So like, yes, they consistently lose good coaches and good minds to different teams, but the reason that happens is because they hire good people. So I trust this front office's ability and to hire good coaches and good guys in the office to replace those guys every year, because they keep, yes, there is going to be an issue at some point losing certain guys, and it might take longer to replace them, but they've consistently replaced them over the years, and they lose more. Like, I'm not really worried about that right now. I think that's kind of maybe it's a long-term thing, but I'm not really worried about it right now. I think a lot of this too is always people running into biases and trying to, you know, make correlation equal causation. Like our own internal biases will say, well, this happens. So this, you know, we always look for things as humans to reinforce our opinion and how we think about things, right? No matter if it's sports or whatever else. So when something does or doesn't happen that supports our opinion, we're going to go out and retweet it, or we're going to, you know, say, well, this is why this happened. It doesn't matter what it is. As humans, we all do that. And especially in sports. So a lot of this thing, like when things happen, you know, again, correlation doesn't equal causation. Just because a certain outcome goes a certain way doesn't mean that the thing you thought to be true is, you know, what caused it. This is the same thing as the process over results thing. We get mad about not pitching Cam Gallagher and he gets a base hit against the White Sox and they score a run. It's like, okay, guess what? That happened. Tito knows more than we all do. Everybody knows Tito's the best. Okay. Doesn't mean it was a good decision. It just happened to work out that time. The reverse is true too. People got mad Friday about going to Karinchak and he blew it. And yes, maybe he shouldn't have gone to Karinchak there, but what about Stefan today with the home run in the game one? oh, it's Tito's fault. He shouldn't have gone to Stefan. Who do you want him to go to? What do you want him to do? So I'm just saying, like, all this stuff that pops up and happens, you can't sit there and say, you know, retweet whatever, you know, support your opinion. Because a lot of stuff goes into this, and, you know, we all have these internal biases. So, again, it's process over results, but some people, I feel like, have a certain opinion on things, and when a certain outcome supports their opinion, they're more likely to share it or say it, but not the reverse. And we all tend to look at it that, I mean, we're all guilty of it. I do it, you do it, everyone does it. This is more of a meta thing than anything specific, but, you know, it does.
But speaking of how people look at things, I know as we're running out of time here, we have to comment about Hunter Gaddis going tomorrow, and people lost their minds over this. And I'm not saying that Hunter Gaddis is, listen, I think we can kind of see that I think he still has a chance as a reliever. I don't know if he's a starter. This is a temporary situation. Savale is going to be ready soon. McKenzie is going to be ready soon. You're not calling up Gavin Williams for one start. We already talked about how very soon with Savale and McKenzie coming up and being ready to play that, you know, you're going to have a hard situation to deal with. Gaddis is here because they need a spot starter. He is the spot starter. That's what this situation is. If you're doing anything more than that, then you're raging for the sake of raging. Is it ideal? No, but he is here to hold down a spot. And again, you know, I had a lot of people getting mad about this idea that we can't, I wanted to address one quick thing that, like, this idea of like, hey, we, you know, you have to be fair to all these starters. Well, you have to be fair to your vets too. And you can't just assume that you can turn a guy into a reliever. And if you turn someone into, if you put a Savale or a Plesac, or not necessarily a Plesac, or a Quantrell in your pen, A, that means less money for them long-term, which they're not going to be happy about, which can lead to worse performance, and B, you cut out all your depth. So this is the smart move. I hate to be, you know, to say that, but this is going to be a rough series. The White Sox have been playing hot. But yeah, if you were raging about this, then you're just looking to rage.
Which I get, everyone's frustrated about everything for sure. But yeah, this is one of those things that's just not worth getting worked up over about. Is it not going to be good? It probably won't be. I don't know. He might not pitch well. He's not a great starter. It is what it is. Everyone's like, oh, they're not serious about winning. Well,
that's such a favorite go-to for everyone to say.
I know. They're not serious about winning. Okay. I understand, like, they need to start winning games to avoid what's going on here. But, like, a random Monday in May, calling up Gavin Williams to put him on the 40 just is a bad long-term move. And this is the difference of, I'm not telling anybody how to feel. You can feel whatever way you want. You're a fan. I've said this before. You're investing your time, your money, your emotional energy into this team. You can feel whatever way you want. We can feel whatever way we want too, because we're doing this podcast and trying to bring the perspective of the team the best we can. And any Major League Baseball team has to feel this way. It's a long-term outlook. You cannot play one game decisions or one series decisions in the month on May 22nd. Okay. You're still playing for the long term. And like you said about, you know, putting Cal Quantrill in the bullpen and just so they don't have to send Bidey or Allen down, this kind of stuff. Every decision, because it's a 162 game season, because you have 300 minor leaguers, because you have guys that are in contract walk years, and there's just 1,000 decisions that happen each day, whether it's a coaching decision or a front office decision. Everything is a long-term move. There are no short. The only time things get short-term is in the playoffs, when you're trying to win that day. Everything else up until then, or if you're trying to get into the playoffs at the end of the season, but everything on May 22nd is a long-term decision. So you don't put Gavin Williams on the 40-man roster for a random start in May. Do you do it in August when, you know, let's say Tristan McKenzie hurts his teres major thing and he's out for a month. Yeah, maybe you look at it then, because it's a month and you're in the thick of things, and going to Hunter Gaddis just isn't a wise decision at that
point. You're not in the thick of things and you're running out like the Mejias and Sam Henches like they did in 2021. Right. You see the difference.
Yes, the decision-making is long-term. Like you said about Quantrill, like, look what happened in 2021. Quantrill, for whatever reason, they put him in the bullpen. I think he didn't have a great spring training or whatever, and they went a different direction in 2021. And they ended up needing Quantrill in the rotation. He was good out of the bullpen. They ended up needing him out of, because of injuries and other things happening. You know, Bieber got hurt. And they spent like, I don't know, a month or two stretching Quantrill out to the point where he could be a starter every fifth day. And that decision cost them because they had to pitch Sam Henches and JC Mejia. You know, Sam Henches was not ready. Neither was Mejia. And now Henches is a better role for him. But like, that's a long-term decision that hurt them that year. They had to go out and fix it. And they didn't really have another way to fix it other than just stretch him out over multiple innings, over multiple outings in the bullpen. And you can't lose depth like that. So to be like, oh, we can't send Logan Allen down, so we have to put Quantrill in the bullpen. I know we're going long here. Everything is a long-term decision. And things may not work out for them this season. They may end up not being where they were a year ago, and they may have to reevaluate some things. But it's all long-term decisions. They have spent years trying to get this crop of players to the majors. Quan, you know, Jimenez, Freeman, Arias. I know they need to put better players around Jose Ramirez, and I don't know if they're going to do a Shane Bieber, but like, this is all a long-term decision. I know they don't want to waste any more Bieber's time. They don't want to waste any more Jose's time, but like, as much as that sucks, they still have to look at the long-term of things versus what's going to happen May 22nd, if they're going to turn things around, because the way you're going to turn things around is a game at a time.
No, agreed. And we'll have to see where it goes. We will get into much more throughout the week on Locked On Guardians. I want to thank you all for rating and reviewing, downloading. It helps being part of the Locked On Everydayer Club, you know, being part of that team. And even when this team struggles, we are here for you every day. If it's this group therapy, as we are all frustrated, as we try to find reasons to have hope, if it's just trying to figure out what's gone wrong, but we'll be here each and every day. So make sure you're tuning in, downloading, subscribing, liking, and commenting, and go, go Guardians, go.